Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome aboard the continuation of Flight 63. Flight attendant serving you today, Stephen Back, Unit Mid-Cabin. My name is Amy, and I'll be serving you up front. Please make sure your carry-on items are stowed completely underneath the seat in front of you, leaving the overhead bins for soft-sided items, briefcases, and small suitcases only. Place hard-sided items into the overhead bin. Put them flat on the floor of the bin, making sure not to stack them. Just let a flight attendant know if you need assistance. Shortly after takeoff, we'll begin serving complimentary soft drinks, juice, and coffee. Beer and wine may be purchased for $3 and cocktails for $4. FAA regulations require passenger compliance with the following. Because certain electronic devices transmit signals that can interfere with your...
Hello and welcome to another edition of Digital Flotsam. I'm P.W. Fenton. This edition is entitled, The Fear of Flying. Actually, though, the main story in this edition, a story called The Plane, written by my Anglo daughter, Billy Fenton, is not so much about the fear of flying as it is about how a parent's worries can totally influence the imagination of a young child and turn a potential delight into a complete terror. I suspect many folks have experienced anxiety on a commercial airline flight, but you can only imagine what it must have been like for a terrified 6-year-old about to take a flight with her only 9-year-old sister at her side.
Now, let me say this to you. You know, for 5 years, I've been talking about my fear of flying. I hope after what's happened just recently, you'll listen to me. It hasn't been good. You know, this is real. You know, just 3-4 weeks ago, Northwest Airlines fired 3 pilots for being drunk. Drunk pilots. Damn. Now, how are you going to pull them over for DUI? You're like, well, who's going to go get them this time? I mean, by the way, the next time you fly Northwest, if you want to aggravate them, here's the way you can do it. When they come around to take your drink order, just say, I'll have whatever the pilots are having.
Up until I was 8 years old, my family lived in New York. Some of my fondest memories of my early childhood were the trips we took to Florida to visit my grandparents in the summertime. Their house was a wonderland to me. Compared to the small apartment we lived in New York, their house was palatial, with palm trees in the front yard, an orange and grapefruit tree on the side of the house. There was this huge dining room and a living room and something I'd never heard of before, a Florida room, where we spent our evenings together watching The Love Boat and Fantasy Island. But the most important thing at their house was the swimming pool. I only knew one person on Staten Island that had an above-ground swimming pool, and it was the size of maybe 3 bathtubs tied together. In my child's eye, my grandparents' pool was of Olympic proportions. It was the place I had learned to swim. Anyway, one Christmas, my sister Kim and I received a gift from our parents, 2 plane tickets to go to Florida. Not only were we going to Florida, but we were going by ourselves. At ages 6, me, and 9, my sister, we would be flying to Tampa without my parents, something we had never done before. Also, we were going to have our grandparents, and more importantly, their pool, all to ourselves for 2 whole weeks. My sister and I were beside ourselves with excitement.
See, let me tell you people something. Everything they tell you about the safety of a plane is not designed to help you in an emergency. It's designed to make you feel better about being on the plane. Just like the oxygen mask. They say if we need it, it's going to pop down out of the ceiling. I ain't never seen it. I don't believe it's up there. Then they say if it does come down, for us to breathe first before we hand it to the person next to us. Well, hell, I was going to do that anyhow. I mean, I'm a pretty nice guy. I just can't see myself looking at somebody I don't even know and going, well, I don't have anything to live for. Why don't you breathe? See, let me tell you something. See, I am not an expert in aerodynamics. And I know you're sitting there going, nah. Well, but I'll tell you this, I've got a lot of common sense. And you can trust me on this. If you're ever up there at 30,000 feet and suddenly all those oxygen masks drop down, it's over. And to tell you the truth, if I just got a few seconds to live, I could think of something else I'd rather have in my face than that piece of plastic.
After a few months of anticipation, the day finally came for us to leave. We had gotten to the airport pretty early so my parents could make the necessary arrangements for us to be taken care of during our flight. As in most cases, what you think would take hours to take care of only took a few minutes, so we all sat in the terminal for a few hours while we waited for our flight. I was a little nervous. I had the kind of butterflies in your stomach that you get when you're a kid waiting in a long line at Disney World to get onto Space Mountain for the first time. Nothing major, and really, I was too excited about the trip to really notice. All I could think about was that swimming pool. I was sitting on my mother's lap at the gate waiting for the plane when it started. My mother noticed that I was a little warm and put my forehead to her chin like only a mother can do. "Honey," she said, "I think Billy might have a fever," to which my dad had little reaction. "Well, do you think she'll be okay on the plane?" My dad reassured her that I would be fine, but my mom just wasn't having it. "Billy, are you feeling okay?" I told her I had a tummy ache. I know now that I hadn't really felt sick at the time. By that point, my innocent butterflies had turned into a stomach ache because my mom's distress was starting to freak me out. "Maybe she has a cold. Honey, I'm worried about how she's going to react to the air pressure on the plane. Billy, do your ears feel okay?" At which point, I promptly developed an earache. Every ailment she had asked me about suddenly manifested itself in my body, not because I was really sick, but because at this point, I was really starting to get scared. My dreams about swimming in my grandparents' pool melted away because I kept hearing this recurring theme in my mom's apprehensions. It was somewhere in between, "What's going to happen if her fever goes up on the plane?" and, "Honey, do you think we should let her go on the plane?" that the thought crept into my mind, "The plane is going to kill me."
I hate flying. I hate it so much. I have no words for it, so. However, I have a whole lot of words for it. They're coming up. "You will need to arrive at 4:45 if your plane is departing at 10. When you called for a seat, we advised you to meet at the gate. We'd let you know then. The seats are so teeny, you'll sit like Houdini. Be quiet and listen to this. If we should fall in a fiery ball, kiss your own ass goodbye, then your kids. On the plane, you will do exactly as we say. You'll remain in your seat with your bags at your feet till the speech is complete on the plane. If we sit on the runway from now until Monday, well, all we can say is too bad. Up front there's free liquor and they get there quicker, so those folks are not quite as mad. Paid your dinero, this movie's just fair. Oh, but here comes the part that's so good. Then the pilot will cut in, we can't see Cleveland, but if it weren't cloudy, we could. Well, on the plane, all is well. Just think of it as practicing for hell. I'm in 5, you're in 4, you lean back anymore, you'll be shoved out the door of the plane. For anything and everything can go wrong. We really don't know where we'll go or when, and you may never see your bags again. Such a shame on the plane. Fit in this box. If it doesn't and you make us wait, you'll be pulled from the line with a hook from behind and then beaten and shot at the gate. The air that you're breathing's been recirculating since Orville and Wilbur were boys. If you should choke, here's a thimble of coke. You do realize that coughing annoys. On the plane, oh, people, are we perfectly insane? The skies are not so friendly. Delta isn't ready. I prefer the bus. U.S. Air begins with us. It's truly torturous on the plane. On the plane. On the plane.
The time came to board the plane, and in 1977, they still let parents of children who were flying unaccompanied to get on with their kids to get them situated before the plane took off. By this time, my mom had dismissed her worries and happily strapped us into our seats. I, on the other hand, was struck dumb with fear. No one really seemed to notice because my sister was so charged with excitement about our impending flight that she was chattering away with everyone from my parents to the flight attendants and to all the people sitting around us about our trip. Then the real terror started. The pilot started testing the wing flaps in preparation for our flight, and I started to cry. At this point, everyone noticed something was wrong. "What's the matter, Billy?" asked my mother, and in reply, I asked her what that noise was. "That's just the pilot testing the wings," a flight attendant said, and she gave my sister and me those silly little plastic wings to pin on our shirts. "I don't want to fly on the plane, Mommy," I whimpered, and my mom finally realized that I was scared. Everyone hovered around me and told me how safe the plane was. My dad reminded me that I'd been on a plane before and loved it. The flight was only 2.5 hours long, and if I fell asleep during the flight, it would be over in no time. My sister just looked at me with a look on her face that said, "Don't you screw this up." My mom started talking to me about all the fun things I was going to do in Florida with Grandma and Grandpa, reminding me that we would be going to Disney World, and I started to calm down. A bit. My parents had kissed us goodbye and just started to leave us and get off the plane when I heard a noise. I know now that what I'd heard was only the ground crew closing the luggage compartment. All I knew was that the plane was making some really loud noise right underneath me. I screamed. This time, no one could calm me down. Up to that point, I don't think anyone had any real concept of what I was really scared of, because they kept telling me that I would be fine without my parents. There was no reason to worry. There would be a flight attendant sitting right next to us for the entire flight. I wasn't scared of being without my parents. I was scared of the plane. All I could think was, I wanted out of that death box, and I wanted out now.
They don't like that. Yeah, this is so bizarre, it sounds like a joke, but it really happened. Same airline at one of their major hubs in Memphis. A chunk of the wing, about 8 inches in diameter, just broke off and hit the ground. The FAA investigated and determined it was because there was a malfunction in the airplane toilet. This is true. Do you see what they're telling us? Somebody flushed the toilet and the wing fell off? Listen, you listen to me. The next time you're up there at 35,000 feet, you're sitting there, "I don't think I can hold this any longer," think a damn again. I don't care if you pee in your briefcase. And look, and recently in the Carolinas, a plane was taxiing out on the runway and the engine fell off. Damn motor just fell off. It fell off. Dallas-Fort Worth, American Airlines plane had to land on the belly of the plane because the landing gear wouldn't come down. It was stuck. See, everything gets stuck before it falls off. Now, listen, this is true. Here's what they did. They put foam on the runway, and this airplane slid in. It slid in. Just don't sound right, does it? And you know what irritates me? For those passengers, when they get off the plane, to act like they were not afraid. Liars, liars, liars. They asked one guy, they said, are you frightened during this whole ordeal? He said, not really. Matter of fact, it was kind of fun. Because when the plane hit the ground, it made you swallow your stomach. Right. You know, and I know, that when that plane was 30,000 feet up, going 500 miles an hour, with 200 people on board, and the pilot covered the PA system and said, now look here, y'all. We ain't got no wheels. You know that guy was up there going, oh, goody, goody. And look, and let's not forget Aloha Airlines. They're the ones that had that airplane that took off as a hard top, come back as a convertible. The top blew off. And the dumb things them people would say once they got off that plane. These are people who flew in and landed in an airplane that didn't have a top. It didn't have a damn top. And what? Listen, one lady actually said this. She said, at first, I didn't even notice it. Yeah, I just reached out to push the stewardess button and the sun was in my eye.
After about 10 minutes of trying to calm me down, my mom looked up at the stewardess and asked her how much time we had left. She said about a minute, and my mom turned to my dad and said, we have to take them off the plane. I immediately calmed down since in my mind, my near-death experience was about to end. Now it was my sister who began to scream and cry. Her trip had just been canceled because her little sister was a drama queen. My dad started to gather our things while my sister fought with my mom to stay on the plane with or without me. We slowly made our way to the front of the plane where the pilot had been watching the entire spectacle. Instead of shooing us off so he can start his now delayed flight, he incredulously tries one last time to get us to stay on the plane. At this point, I was happy because I was just inches away from safety when he leaned over and said to me, if you girls stay on the plane, I'll let you sit in the cockpit while we take off. Insert blood-curdling scream here. Now, if someone said that to me today, I'd ask, where do I sit? But at the time, it was like asking the cow if she would enjoy going to the front of the line at the slaughterhouse. The last place in the world I wanted to be was in the heart of the very thing that was going to kill me. It was the plane I was afraid of, not flying, not being somewhere without my parents, not the strangers sitting next to us. The plane. In the car during our long drive home, it was my sister who could not be quieted. Not only was she not going to take a flight without her parents, not only was she no longer taking a trip to Florida, but she had just missed out on an opportunity to fly in the cockpit of a 727. To this day, I don't think my sister has ever forgiven me for that. To assuage my sister, my parents had made a promise to take us all to Six Flags in New Jersey for our birthdays that summer. But unfortunately, when that time came around, I caught the chicken pox.
So there you have it, another edition of Digital Flotsam. The story, The Plane, was written and performed by Billy Fenton. The fabulous song, On the Plane, was written and performed by singer-songwriter Cheryl Wheeler. Detailed show notes on all the other various elements of this edition can be found on the Digital Flotsam website. Send comments and loose change to pwfenton at digitalflotsam.org, and don't forget to vote for Digital Flotsam when you visit podcastalley.com.
and Peter holded the microphone.